And then as well, there will be there is an outline in the bulletin to go along with the message. This message is really a second part of last Sunday's message. I didn't really fully get to this part of the message last week, but it is also connecting back to the series that I began months ago on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so this continues on in the series of the Holy Spirit. As we look around the world today, you don't often hear people say, you know, that I want to be a wise person. You don't really hear that very often. Often you will hear, you know, oh, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to have great influence. I want to accomplish some great feat or some great task. Make some kind of great impact on the world. I want to make some kind of a great discovery. And those are good things to aspire to. There's nothing wrong with those. But not often do you hear a person say, you know, I want to be a very wise person. King Solomon, we understand from the scriptures, was known as the wisest and, by the way, the richest, at least in his time, the richest king and probably, perhaps, the most influential in his day. Now, we're talking 950 B.C., and Solomon, before the Lord, asks this of the Lord. He says, Lord, I want to have a wise and discerning heart. God had asked him, what do you want from me? You're the king, and because I've anointed you and called you to be the king, I will give you a special request. What is it that you want from me, God, as you become and serve as the king? And you know, as you think about that, he could have asked for anything, couldn't he? But he says, God, I feel like a little child. That's what he says. I feel like a little child before these great people. And therefore I ask you to give me a wise and discerning heart, therefore that I can judge rightly, have a discerning heart in making decisions, and leading and guiding and judging these people to administer justice to this great people. Isn't that a beautiful request? And God says to them, because you have asked for this, for wisdom from me, for a wise and discerning heart, therefore, I am going to give you a wise and discerning heart, and I'm also going to give you great wealth and great influence and great impact. Because you have asked this of me, instead of asking for riches, instead of asking for power and position and influence, I'm going to give you all of those things and give you wisdom. You and I can also have wisdom. We read here from the scriptures that you and I can have wisdom from the Spirit of God. We can have truth, absolute truth, an understanding of God and an understanding of life, and watch this, an application of that truth, an application of that knowledge to our lives so that we can live and be blessed. You and I can have that knowledge of God, truth, but also an application of it. Isn't it funny that we often will meet people in this life, sometimes it's celebrities, sometimes it's a person of influence, someone who's accomplished something, perhaps a great scholar, or this kind of thing, and they've got PhDs, they've got letters upon letters of degrees. But sometimes they are the most impractical people in the world, and they don't have the least common sense about things. You ask for a simple answer about something, and you get a huge paragraph of words that you have no idea what they just said. Very impractical sometimes. You and I can have the knowledge. There's nothing wrong with having great knowledge of all different kinds of fields, not just about the knowledge of God. You can have great knowledge, but also to have the application of that truth and knowledge of God to my life so that I will be blessed. I will be blessed. You and I will have a blessed life. This is what God really desires for us. God, our Heavenly Father, really desires this for you and for me. If He didn't, He wouldn't give this to us as a gift, would he? He truly, truly desires this for us. And so the main point of this message is this, that God's Spirit reveals the wisdom of God to us, those who belong to Christ, those who have received Christ, as we seek to understand and obey the deep things of God. Now, in order to have the wisdom of God from the Spirit of God, you have to have received Christ so that you have the Spirit of God in you. You're not going to get the wisdom that God has for you from the Spirit if you don't have His Spirit in you. It's that simple. Many people can read this Bible. In fact, I've talked with many people that seem to know the Bible well, but they don't understand it. I've talked to them about certain passages, certain things that Jesus has said, and they just have absolute no understanding of what that means. They may have read the Bible, maybe even memorized it. I knew one scholar, years ago, when I was looking at going to Bible seminary, I actually applied at Princeton Theological Seminary. You know, and that was a mistake from the get-go, because I wasn't doing it for the right reason. I was young and foolish and didn't have wisdom. And I talked to one of the professors, and it was like, I don't know, it was like talking to the wall. I just could not comprehend anything that he was saying. And to him, it just seemed all about discovering more facts and more knowledge, you know, like the archaeological context and the cultural context and which nation was at war against other nation. And it was like, oh, okay, that stuff's great and everything, but what about the revelation of God to me? The Holy Spirit writing the Word, recording the Word for me to understand and for this Word to impact my life. What about that? And he didn't have any answer. To him, it was just, you know, facts and knowledge. And there's many people like that. You have to have the Spirit of God within you so that He can reveal the wisdom of God. It's spiritually discerned. Now, as He reveals this to us, it comes in a package form. It comes in a seed form. And you have to unpack it. How many of you like to follow directions when you're putting something together? A few of you. Okay, how many of you are like me and you don't want to read the directions, you just want to put it together yourself? I know. That's why I have several projects that are half complete or not even started, sitting around, and I don't know where the directions are. We'll get to it. We will. You know, you start putting those things together and you're like, oh man, I got this. Hey, no problem. You put it together and all of a sudden you look over and there's all these parts laying there. It's like, okay, well, where do those go? Oops. And you have to take it back apart to put those parts in, you know. Well, God sends us a package. The Holy Spirit comes into us and gives us a package, so to speak, in seed form, if you will, that has to be unpacked. The seed that He puts within us has to be grown. It has to grow in us. How do we know that? Well, it says it right here, that this wisdom is spiritually discerned. It's spiritually discerned. I know I've said this before, but wouldn't it be wonderful if God could just screw the top of our head off, you know, plug in some kind of a USB cable to the brain and download all the wisdom of God to our brain in an instant. He doesn't do that. But He does give us the mind of Christ, a new mind, a new nature within our thinking. He actually does give that to us, and we'll talk about that. But He reveals this to us in seed form. Then we have to seek Him and seek His wisdom. And then, guess what? We have to obey Him. We have to obey Him. Whatever He is showing us at the time, whatever He's speaking to us about, we have to obey Him. I appreciate Susie's testimony. You know, she had come to the place of inviting Jesus Christ into her life as her Savior, but with strings attached. Not too much. Don't want to be one of those Jesus freaks. I understand that. I remember those days when, you know, you're like, hey, I kind of want to know about this Jesus, but, you know, I don't want to be weird, and I don't want people looking at me like I'm weird, and even though I am weird and, you know, I don't want to be a Jesus freak, and I always ask the question, well, I am a Jesus freak. Whose freak are you? You know, you are somebody's freak, whether it's yourself or somebody else. And so I understand that and appreciate your testimony, but she came to that place where God was speaking to her. The Spirit was revealing wisdom and things to her that she had to take and apply it to her life. Because I tell you what, if you're at that place that Susie was at, where, you know, you're holding back, and you're arguing with God about being baptized, which is, you know, in the book of Hebrews, that's called a elementary thing. That's an elementary thing. So if you're arguing with God about being baptized as a believer, publicly, you know, guess what? You're not moving forward from that point until you obey Him. You and I have to obey what He's showing us, and then He'll show you more. The lessons that He has for you and for me, the wisdom that He has to be obeyed. And God desires, listen, you still with me? Say amen. We're only going to go to like first base today. I knew we were going to have to keep it a little bit shorter, so I planned accordingly. So that's good. God wants to reveal His deep things to you and to me. He really does. He wants to reveal them. But He requires that we seek Him for this. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes in and you know, He reveals to us that, you know, we need to be saved. The Holy Spirit's working and convicting. And then when He comes in to us because we have accepted Christ, we have put our faith in Him, that's sort of a very basic thing. I'm talking about the deeper things that God has for you and for me. I'm talking to you Christians here today. I will, for a moment, talk to those of you who have not come to Christ, and therefore you don't have the Spirit of God within you. Therefore, He is working in your life that you would come and receive Christ, bow the knee to Him. But what God says to you and to me as believers, He says this. Here's a couple of different quotes. You will seek Me and find Me when? When you seek Me with all your heart. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. Here's another one. That's, by the way, that's from Jeremiah 29:13, speaking to His people who were in captivity because of their sin. Here's another one. This is one of my favorite scriptures from Proverbs. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal things. It is the glory of kings to discover them. Or to seek them out. It's the glory of God to conceal things. It is the glory of a king to seek them out or to discover them. Now, you know, the thing is, a king, because of his position, had time to think about these things and seek God, like the ordinary person who was, you know, toiling from day to sun up to sundown just for basic food and sustenance, didn't have that opportunity, didn't have that time. And so kings like Solomon, you know, that's where we get the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, I've searched all of these things on the earth, wealth and fame and pleasures, and I've found them to be what? Vanity. The only thing that counts is worship God and serve Him only. And then you will have a blessed life. God conceals things so that we will seek Him and seek Him out so that He may reveal them to us. You know, as a parent, as a father, you kind of do that with your children to an extent. At least if you're wise, you will. You know, you want them to have self-discovery. A wise parent is not going to tell their children just everything. You have to let them discover some things on their own. And the fact of the matter is, as they get older, they won't listen to you anyway. And so you have to let them discover it on their own. And sometimes they have to go through the school of hard knocks. Go out in the desert for a while. God wants us to seek Him so that He can reveal these things to us. Why? Why does God do that? Because He has put this in our hearts. He has put eternity in our hearts. There is a desire for man and I'm using that generically, man and woman, to discover things, to seek things out, to understand how things work, why they work, how this happened, who did what in the past. That's archaeology, right? Who did what in the past, and what does it mean? You know, they are building more and more powerful telescopes. The Hubble telescope, they believe, has gone back to you know, the event horizon of what they call the Big Bang Theory. Did you know the Big Bang Theory is in the Bible? It says, God spoken, bang, it happened. So yeah, they're only discovering what God said, you know, several thousand years ago. God's like, oh yeah, that's old hat. I know all about that. That's it. Well, verse 7, Paul speaks in contrast to the worldly wisdom of man. And you have to understand, as he's writing to the Corinthians, Corinth, Greece, they're in the middle of Greek culture, and for Greeks, wisdom was supreme. Wisdom was supreme. Sophos, Sophia, wisdom, and Sophos, a lover of wisdom, you know, that was supreme to them. And it's interesting that there were some wealthier people that actually would sit around from day to night talking about the latest and greatest ideas. They would just do that. And then you remember Paul goes to the Areopagus and speaks to them about wisdom. And he says, hey, I see here you have a tomb dedicated, a monolith designated to the God who's unknown. He said, because he's unknown to you, let me make him known to you. Because it'd been revealed to Paul, now he's revealing it to them. So Paul is speaking of contrast of worldly wisdom to the wisdom of God, God's secret wisdom. Look at verse 7 with me. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. I'm going to try to wrap this point up and bring it home to you, and I hope that this will truly make an impact on you. Some of you perhaps played a game, you know, perhaps at a birthday party or just as a family at home where you set up hints. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we did this. I think it was a birthday party for one of them, and we hid hints all over the house, all different places of the house, and you know, you give them a hint to find the hint, and they'd have to go to find that first hint. You know, and they find that, and then that hint gave them more information about where the next clue or next hint is in another part of the house, hidden somewhere. And you know, it's fun as you sit there and you watch, you know, and you begin to give them a little help. You say, oh, you're cold. Oh, you're getting hot, you know, back and forth. You know, and why do we do that? Because it's fun, and it's fun to discover things like that, right? It's fun to look at a hint and say, what does this mean? What does it mean? Well, God has given us hints throughout the Bible. He's given us hints about it. In fact, the prophets gave us hints about God's plan of redemption and restoration. But we're told in verse 10 that God has revealed this secret wisdom to us by the Spirit. Those of us who have the Spirit, God has revealed it. And what is this secret wisdom? What is the secret wisdom that he's speaking of here? Well, let me give you a definition and then try to break it down just a little bit. The secret wisdom of God is the restoration of all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's secret wisdom. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. Colby Garrett is going to read that for us.
And he made known to us the mystery of all his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ.
God has a plan, the plan of the ages, and that is to bring all things together in heaven, all things in heaven and on earth, bring those things together under one head, even Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. Watch this. You still with me? Say amen. You and I are a part of this. You and I are part of this. If you have come to Christ, if you've received Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you are a part of God's plan, because His plan involves restoring relationship with you and Him. As we celebrate Father's Day today, we're celebrating the fact that God is our Heavenly Father, and His plan has been to restore you to relationship with Him. Restore that relationship together. And that's part of His plan. The second part of His plan is, as you and I are restored to relationship, is then we then share this knowledge of His relationship. It's called the gospel. You share that with other people. Amen? As Ashley has on his phone message, just tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell them. Doesn't matter who you run into. Well, you know, I'm going to run them off. So what? Run them off. I don't mean that in an offensive way, but if that runs them off, so be it. So be it. You know, I was having a conversation in the store the other day. I think it was the dollar store. And it was one of those long lines, you know. You get a little basket, couple things in there, and you go up and somebody has this big cart. You know, it's like overflowing, or one cart in front of them and they're towing another one. And of course they get in line before you. Right? Don't you love it? And you're like, you're looking for the express lane and there is none. And so we're sitting in line, and this fellow, he's behind, he's getting all agitated and everything about it all. And I'm like, hey, it is what it is, you know. You can't get in a hurry. And we start to talk a little bit. And he, you know, he's just very freely expressing his opinions on things. And so I said, you know, you're right. I said, you know, this things are, they're frustrating. This world is frustrating, isn't it? Things are frustrating sometimes. And he said, yeah. And he started going on. I said, you know, I have found a lot of peace with Jesus. And he looked at me. And he just said, oh, okay, yeah. Forgot something. I got to go get something. Yeah. You know, okay, so what? So he wasn't interested. That's not up to me. That's up to the Spirit of God, whether He's working in this person's heart at that moment. But guess what? It may be that somebody's already talked to him at the office about this, and he's hearing it again, and all of a sudden he's like, maybe there's something to this Jesus thing. You see, so this plan includes you and me. God reveals His secret wisdom to us who have the Spirit of God. What is the secret wisdom? It's the restoration of all things, heaven and earth, under one head, that is even Jesus Christ. That's why a couple weeks ago when I preached on, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth for you and for me. God planned all of this. Now watch this. God planned all of this before time began. Verse 7. We speak of God's secret wisdom, wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Wow. Just stop there for just a second. You know, a lot of times we read the scriptures quickly and we don't really pause and listen to it. Before time began, God destined His plan and purposes, which include you and me, before time began. How is that possible? How is that possible? God planned it in His mind. The mind of God. In God's mind, He already planned all of this out. He planned out His purposes, His plans, and the people that would respond to the message of Christ. You and me. Now, if you're here today, and you haven't responded to this message of Christ, you haven't given your life, you need to understand something. God, from eternity past, has put His finger on you that you would respond to Christ. In the mind of God, it was destined that He would reveal His secret wisdom and His plan of redemption, His plan of restoration to you and you and you and you and you and me. That's why those of us who know Christ can stand here and say, you know what? If the world explodes today, I know where I'm going. If the Lord should take me home today, I know where I'm going. No matter if anyone else turns away, if everyone else turns away, if the whole world goes crazy and turns away, Lord, though none go with me, still I will, what? Follow. No turning back, no turning back. I will follow the Lord. The Apostle Peter said that in chapter 1 of his letter, 1 Peter, verse 12, he said that angels have longed to look into these things. Angels have not had the secret plans of God revealed to them. And so they look into, they'd like to be privy to all of this that we are. And so the secret wisdom of God. Well, how do we get it? It comes in seed form, and you and I must seek Him for this wisdom, and He will show it to us, then we obey, and He shows us more. He shows us some wisdom, He shows us some of His plan, some of His purposes. For your life and my life, we obey, and then He shows us more. That's the way it happens, folks. Watch this. No seeking, no wisdom. No reading of God's Word, no wisdom. No praying to God, which means talking face to face. Prosuke means to speak face to face. I talk to God just like I talk to you. And I expect God to answer. Now, He doesn't answer in audible words, but He speaks to my spirit. I get impressions from God, things He reminds me of, His Word He reminds me of, to almost every situation that I'm in. You can have that. I'm nothing special. You and I can know the voice of God in our lives. We can. No seeking, no voice. And therefore, we're left with our own wisdom. And you can see where the wisdom of man has led us in this country and in this world. The wisdom of man, this is what the wisdom of man leads to. And we're in a sad state of affairs in this world and in this country. And the wisdom of man, I'll give you a little extra credit homework here. Read chapter 1, the first half of it says, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. Foolishness. And Paul uses a comparison, says, even the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And so I leave you today with a challenge. Are you seeking God? Oh, Pastor, I don't understand the Bible. It doesn't make any sense to me. I know. It can be difficult to understand. Someone just said to me, you know, I have a difficulty reading. And so now they're listening to the Bible on CDs. Okay? You can do that. Or you can download it to your iPad or to your tablet, to your laptop, or I guess even your PDA, whatever it is. You can download it and listen to it. Read it right there. And listen to it. And then you have not only the ear gate, but the eye gate. You can do it. You've got to make it a priority. I've got to make it a priority in our lives to be into the Word of God. Then taking time and listening and meditating. Ooh, there's a scary word. The writer in Psalm 119, he says, I am wiser than all of my teachers. Why? Because I meditate on your Word. Your Word makes me wise. And so you meditate on the things that God reveals to you. You begin to think about it. You ought to have a tablet or a notebook and write the things down that God speaks to you about. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I have a thought and man, if I don't write that thing down, whew, there it goes. Bye. You've got to write those things down, especially when God is speaking to you about very important things. And if you and I will seek Him, He says, He will be found. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and He will give it liberally to any who ask. But let him not doubt, or he will be double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Ask in faith. Have faith. Trust that God will speak to you. He will. If He can speak to me, He can speak to any of you. For I am a simple-minded man. I feel just like Solomon. Lord, I feel like a little child. But Father, I want your wisdom, a discerning heart. Is that you today? Then would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you love us so much and you want to give us the wisdom that you have for our lives, the knowledge of who you are, your plans and purposes. You want to give those things to us. Lord, help us to seek You. Lord, we want to move past the milk. We've come to that place where we've received Christ. But we want to move past into the deep, secret things of God. Reveal them to us, we pray. And then, Lord, for those who are here today and they need to start this relationship with You, Lord, would You please speak to them? May Your Holy Spirit draw them, as Your Word says. Draw them to Yourself, Lord. Do that which not any man can do, but open their heart to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that you today? If that's you and you know you need to start this relationship, I'd like to pray for you. If you would indicate this, I'd like to pray for you. If you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to begin this relationship with Christ. Would you just let me know by raising your hand? I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to have this wisdom in my life. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for these that have raised their hand, have expressed to You. And Lord, help them to take that next step to openly invite You in. Lord, Your Word says it must be personal and it must be specific, that we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised from the dead and we shall be saved. For it is with the mouth that we confess and are justified, as the heart that we believe and are justified, as the mouth that we confess and we are saved. So Lord, help them to take those steps even today. If that's you, just pray this prayer in your heart. Say, Father, I want to know You. I invite You, Jesus, to come into my life. Save me, forgive me, and give me Your wisdom. Give me Your Holy Spirit, who will fill me with Your life, the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If that's you, and we'd love to pray with you some more. At the end of the service, come on up. We'll let some of our elders pray with you. In just a few minutes, we're going to transform these sections here into a breakfast brunch buffet. And we want some help. So if you would be willing, in just a few minutes as we clear out, we need to stack these chairs and get them out of the way. We're going to bring the tables in. So some of us that can stay. Again, an invitation for all of you to stay and enjoy this wonderful time of fellowship. If you can't, we understand. Meet me at the door. I'd love to meet you before you go. God bless you all, especially fathers. Happy Father's Day to you.